Religion says God created humans. Science says humans created God. It's kind of a cosmic chicken and egg question. And it seems like the answer has to be one or the other. Or does it? Jeff Schloss is an evolutionary biologist. He's also Christian. And as a scientist, Jeff's interested in the question of whether the human capacity for religious belief is a product of nature, inborn, or nurture, learned. He thinks it's probably some of each. For example, he told Steve Paulson that we all seem to arrive in this world with something called a hypersensitive agency detection device, or HAD.
This looks like it emerges very early on. Even infants make the distinction between animate and inanimate objects, and it makes sense. We got to avoid predators and snakes, and some people argue that, well, it's better to jump out of the way of a snake that isn't there than to fail to jump out of the way of a snake who is there. So our agency detection devices are tuned to be a little hypersensitive. And so we may end up seeing agents that aren't there, maybe even spirits and ancestors and gods. But that's just a byproduct. Actually thinking that there are spirits or gods isn't adaptive. The adaptive thing is jumping out of the way of snakes that aren't there. And there are others who say, no, we have an innate disposition to believe in these beings, and it is adaptive.
Okay, so we've been trying to come up with these evolutionary explanations for why people might be religious. What about transcendence? What about the experience that some people report of revelation or of the experience of the numinous? Does that figure into any of this?
There's a gripping power of religious experience that involves the numinous, where you just have an experience of reverential awe. I did my field work at the University of Michigan Biological Station up in northern Michigan. We often see northern lights, but one night it was one of the most dramatic manifestations of the aurora borealis that any of us had ever seen. Giant tongues of multicolored flame were leaping up from the horizon to the middle of the sky, and there's a group of us out on the lake watching it, and one of my colleagues, well known for his atheism, after one particularly spectacular flame, he said, "Whoa, I'm going to church tomorrow." And the whole group burst into laughter. We knew what he meant. We were all experienced this numinosity, and there was this disposition to think that there was something more. So where does it come from? Well, my colleague would say, well, it comes from the radiation display in the sky. But what do you say if people have those experiences apart from the aurora borealis, if they're sitting in their room and they are overcome by an awareness of a numinous presence? I don't think it's a question that science can answer of whether there's a downstream presence really there.
Whether God is there.
Yeah. And if there were a God there, we'd still have the question, is God somehow causally generating that experience? Or is he always there? And something within our internal physiology in some people generate moments of awareness of his presence. And if it's the latter case, you don't invoke God as part of the proximal explanation. It's just not a delusion. It's a revelation.
Is this a science question? I mean, can science come to any answer of that dilemma that you pose? I mean, like, you know, essentially, is God there or not?
Well, I think science could answer the question, can we come up with a causally adequate explanation of where the experience comes from? So let's forget the aurora borealis. Somebody's in their room. I'm talking about me, actually.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about you. I mean, there's something from your personal experience.
Okay, yeah. I was not raised in any particular religious tradition, maybe even not even maybe, somewhat anti-religious in a family of German-Jewish Holocaust refugees who believed that religion was the source of human ills. Didn't settle the question for me of whether there was a God. I was reading C.S. Lewis, and I frankly found him unpersuasive and a little irritating that he would think his arguments were adequate, and I read Why I'm Not a Christian, unpersuaded, and I actually despaired of reason being able to solve these questions. I was laying in my bed one night and decided to pray to a God who I wasn't sure was there. I give up. Reason's never going to solve it. And in that moment, the most glorious, numinous, loving, overwhelming personal presence that I had ever experienced or even ever imagined flooded my heart and filled the room.
Sounds like it changed your life.
It did. Profoundly changed my life. And I found a narrative to help make sense of that experience, which for me was the Christian faith. And
but you actually are from a Jewish background, a sort of a more or less atheist Jewish background.
My immediate family, atheists, larger family, was practicing, and we were sitting around Passover at my uncle's house, and my uncle loved me dearly, and he says, you know, aren't you betraying your tradition by this move, and what do you need this Jesus person for? And I'll tell you, I had been living a pretty, life on the edge would be an understatement. My dad jumps in and he says, Gary, that's enough. I don't know who this Jesus is, but all I can say, the changes he's made in my son's life, God bless him. So, in any case, this is a little of a diversion, but to your question, could science explain that experience? And if it did, would it remove the warrant for believing that the experience was in any way truth-tracking or revealed anything about the truth of of things? And I really believe that science could come up with a proximal explanation of what my brain was doing.
So it might, science could maybe figure out what triggered this insight, like, obviously, something happened in your brain to be able to have this experience, but not necessarily the ultimate cause of the trigger.
Yeah, science could certainly explain what was happening in my brain during the experience. What part of the brain is it that actually perceives not just agency, but experiences personhood? What caused these events in the brain? You know, maybe it was something I ate. Or some developmental cascade that culminated in that moment. I'm open to the possibility that maybe the trigger wasn't natural. Maybe there is a divine decision. I'm going to give this experience to Jeff. If that's the case, I don't think science could explain it. And then the last question is, okay, so let's say we do come up with an explanation. It was a drug that Jeff took. Well, we still have could science say anything about the ultimate cause, about whether or not there is in fact an intelligent, loving being who so constructed the... Well, no, science can't say anything about that one way or another. Science can come up with discoveries and descriptions of the world that seem to comport or not comport with the idea of a loving, moral, intelligent creator. But science can't adjudicate whether such a creator actually exists.
That's Jeff Schloss. He's a professor of biology at Westmont College in California. And he and Steve talked more about evolution and religious belief in this week's podcast extra. Also, if you'd like to read essays about evolution and morality by Jeff Schloss and some others, you'll find them on the website of humansandnature.org. They were our partners for this episode.